Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. March 26, 2020. The epidemic is not punishment but remedy. Throughout history, we have received many signs of attention from the Creator, the good that does good. But by existing in egoistic qualities that are opposite to the Creator, we have perceived these manifestations of love and care as blows and did not feel the need to change. This is how loving parents push their child to learn while he only wants to play, does not listen to them, and thinks that his parents hate him. This is exactly what is happening in the world: crises, wars, disasters, epidemics, the path of suffering that humanity has gone through. And this is because we have refused to accept the governance of the Creator as absolutely good and always bringing good, that is, to adjust ourselves to this governance. We wanted to run away from the instructions of the Creator like children who do not listen to their parents and hide and argue all the time. This is why our life has been so bitter until today. But now we are experiencing a special blow like no other. It comes to calm down the entire world, all of humanity, and to make us as one whole. Just as parents lose their patience and tell the children, "That is enough, calm down now." And they take such a strict action that they actually calm down. The upper governance is descending and closing in on us more and more, beginning to deal with us closely, individually, and directly. Why did humanity take this blow so hard? Why does the coronavirus hold us in such fear? We are used to many people dying and being born each year in every country. Why are we so scared of this particular virus? We know that within 100 years the entire population of the world will change, everyone will die and new people will be born, but we do not make a tragedy out of it. The virus, however, is a psychological blow. A hidden pest is between us, we do not see or feel it, and we do not know where it will strike us from. However, the virus really acts for our benefit by ordering us to distance ourselves from each other and not to leave the house. It is as if it tells me, if you cannot treat each other nicely, stay at home. And if a little bit of goodness appears, you can come out but keep a distance of 10 meters between you. The virus shows us our true relationships, that we are unable to stay together, and if we connect, we pass viruses to each other because we are egoists. This virus is the revelation of the upper governance. The virus separates people from each other to the extent of their egoism. It forces them to stay at home instead of engaging in all sorts of useless, far-fetched things. It shows us a better kind of connection that we can have. And it did not come to harm and kill us but to organize our life correctly. This is the hand of the Creator educating us with mercy. The epidemic is not punishment but the remedy. The virus schools down our relationships fueled by egoism, the desire to win, succeed, and exploit others for personal gain. It halts this entire race. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson March 18, 2020. Lesson on the topic Pesach, Passover. Stepping over into one heart. The virus separates us physically, but because of it, we begin to look for ways to connect more internally. The lack of physical connection awakens us and helps us understand that we need inner closeness. Let there be an infinite distance between us, but we will still step over it and feel like one man with one heart and not just that we are in the same room. Then, in this common heart, we will feel the Creator within us. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson March 18, 2020. Lesson on the topic Pesach, Passover. Antibodies against egoism. The coronavirus is the consequence of the broken connection between people. Everything is harmoniously connected in nature, at the level of elementary particles, that is, inanimate matter, as well as at the vegetative and animate levels. At these levels, Everyone uses others only to the extent necessary to which its natural instinct obliges. A wolf catches and eats the sheep not because it wishes to harm the sheep. The wolf just needs to eat it in order to survive. But after the wolf is full, it will not touch other sheep. It will have no other desire to kill them. If a person appears instead of the wolf, he will kill all the sheep, send the meat to the store, make money, and find how to spend it for his own pleasure. The person's egoism knows no boundaries. His desire to enjoy does not remain within the animalistic pleasures for food, sex, and family. He tries to use others to his advantage, to conquer the whole world, to rise above all with the help of money, honor, and power. And this desire destroys our lives, making us enemies of each other. Wealth, fame, and knowledge are egoistic fulfillments that require a person to be above others. And so, he launches all kinds of tricks to gain money from others. This already involves competition. We do not compete with each other concerning food, sex, and family, we simply enjoy them like any animal would. However, the human level is characterized by the fact that it requires money, honor, and knowledge. This egoistic desire cannot be satisfied, it demands more and more. But nature, which is an integral, global system, disagrees with this, just as a tree disagrees with being chopped down. Nature resists and produces antibodies that prevent a person from invading and destroying natural systems. Nature is an integral law that binds all elements together and does not allow one to rule but only to maintain mutual connection with the rest of the elements. Therefore, as soon as we go too far with our self-interest, we immediately feel the resistance from other people, society, or some parts of nature. Further advancement is possible only on the condition that a person observes the integral law of nature, not forgetting that we are all inside the same sphere connected by one network. The universe and the earth with everything that is on it, inanimate nature, plants, animals, and people are included in one mechanism and depend on one another. In this whole system, there is only one law, which requires everyone to complement each other. Human egoism is the only component that hates everyone and wants to use everyone for its own benefit. Not only do we humans want to use nature, but we also fight with each other. Egoism has led us to a global world in our quest to earn more and more from each other. But we did not aspire for good connections between us, which would contribute to all parts of nature. On the contrary, wherever a person infiltrated nature, he tried to subjugate it, destroying entire species out of whim, not thinking about future generations and not even his own tomorrow. It is said, go make a living off of each other. That is, each produces something of his own, one grows cucumbers and the other bakes bread, so we exchange with each other. But gradually, this positive phenomenon becomes negative because every egoist wants to be a monopolist and defeat everyone. Someone opens a bakery, then another, then a third, and we begin to compete with each other, add chemical additives to bread, drain the earth without thinking about the future. The main thing is to succeed in the eyes of others, to earn money, honor, and power. We are ready to act even to our own detriment, like the United States and Russia, which are throwing huge amounts of money into weapons, but cannot stop their confrontation. People are becoming bigger egoists and want to enslave and exploit each other more and more to such an extent that a reaction suddenly comes from the biological level in the form of a virus. How exactly is the human level associated with a primitive virus? The fact is that all levels are connected with each other, inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature and humans are connected in one system. Therefore, a dispute occurs between people and an earthquake occurs in response to it. Everything in nature began with one small particle that began to increasingly unite with other particles. And so atoms arose, and then living molecules started transmitting energy and information to each other until more complex organisms appeared. There is not a single tiny particle in the universe that would not be connected through this field with the entire universe, with each of its elements at all levels, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human. And the most decisive connection is on the human level, on the level of thought, that is, relations. It determines and controls everything. The speed of thought is infinite, it is not limited by the speed of light, and therefore, everything is clarified in thought. And he who does not understand that all parts of nature are connected into one system is like a child who says that a cup fell and broke by itself. So, the main conclusion from the global epidemic of the coronavirus will be that relations between people, the network connecting us, is the most important and highest phenomenon in this world that defines our whole life. If we bring it into balance, then we will restore harmony at all levels and live as if we are in heaven. From CAB TV's New Life 1211, Antibodies Against Egoism, March 10, 2020. What does it mean to give contentment to the Creator? Question. What does it mean to give contentment to the Creator? After all, the fulfillment of the kli, vessel, is called pleasure, and the lack of fulfillment is called suffering. Does it turn out that the Creator is inside of me? Answer. Yes, it is so. I am very glad that you came to the right conclusion. Question. Based on this, in order to give contentment to the Creator, is it correct to direct myself internally to the quality of bestowal and love? Answer. Of course. The whole world is inside of us. There is nothing outside. Read what Kabbalah says about perception of reality. We perceive only what appears in our senses and representations. The whole universe is inside our consciousness. And the Creator is inside our consciousness. We are all in your mind. This is exactly how you perceive everything. There is nothing strange about it and there are no contradictions. Acquaint yourself with Kabbalistic literature about perception of reality. It is very interesting. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 26, 2020. How does the Reshimo affect the point in the heart? Question. How does our Reshimo, a spiritual informational record, influence the awakening of the point in the heart and the speed of its development? Answer. The fact is that the awakening of the point in the heart is felt in a person as aiming toward the question of the meaning of life. Either it is gradually awakened by suffering or a person finds the environment owned, by joining a group, begins to advance faster. A person develops a suitable soil around one's spiritual embryo and then one advances faster, reveals the questions of his development, and finds answers to those questions. This is actually the development of a constantly renewed Reshimo. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 9, 2020. What does the point in the heart need? Question. How does the human soul grow? Answer. If a person begins to feel that he has a desire to learn the meaning of life, why, what for, and how, this is the first manifestation of the soul. It does not give us rest, and we feel it on our own, each with respect to the force of his or her soul. Although at first a person thinks that it is something very small, petty, it is not. Question. We always say soul. How should we define this concept? Answer. Unfortunately, a person does not understand what it is. He does not understand what the meaning of life is. The question of the meaning of life, in principle, suggests that there is no meaning in life. After all, if there were, you would see it in the aspiration of people to become someone. One wants to be a designer, the other a poet, the third something else. They do not strive for this in order to just earn a piece of bread, but in order to at least find themselves in something. And when a person feels that he cannot find himself in anything, that everything is empty, he begins to understand that the meaning is not in this world, but outside it, above it. If it really attracts him, then he begins a serious search. This is possible in our time. I started like that too. It took me many years, until I found where and how, a dozen years before leaving for Israel, and then a few more years in Israel. All in all, it takes time. Every person has a point in the heart. One way or another, it will awaken anyway. The question is when. Nowadays, it manifests itself clearly, quickly and in many. And before, it manifested itself every tens or even hundreds of years in special people. Question: previously, there were no such large groups as Bnei Baruch? Answer: of course. Look at how large our group is and how it is dispersed throughout the world. This is a very serious movement, which has never existed before and has appeared only now. I never expected it. When I began to study Kabbalah, no one seriously studied it. There were several old men, literally two or three people, and that's all. I attended their classes, but saw that you wouldn't get anything from them. They only read the sources, and I needed serious explanations with answers to the questions that arose in me. After all, the point in the heart requires growth, and therefore, at any given moment, we must feel what it requires and whether we can respond to its request. The main thing is to properly direct it, because it is in a selfish environment, like inside a ball made of selfishness. But inside, this point is purely altruistic. The question is how, through egoism, to direct an altruistic influence on it that can give it food, and it will begin to sprout. Question: like fruit in a shell? Answer: I would rather call it grain in manure. And this is actually so. A person must poke around in this manure in order to extract the grain and thus grow himself. It is quite complicated. But in our time everything is already revealed. We have prepared a huge archive of various materials. So, we need to continue to disseminate. I am very glad that we conduct lessons and lectures for our young friends. We need to make sure that they take possession of our archive and tell us how to improve it so that it is convenient, understandable, and easy for anyone who wants to come to us. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 9, 2020. New Life 307. Eating Disorders.
Hello everyone, thank you for being with us with New Life, the series of shows with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello Rav Leitman, hello everyone, hello Tal Mandelbaum, hello. We're in this conversations in a part of a series of talks about society. We're all living in a society with our relatives, our friends, our work. From that we want to understand, how does this relationship program work? As much as we understand it, we can make our life better. All our life is basically relationships. If we know what's in the base, the core of our relationships, if we can add something good in that core, we can wake every morning with a little bit more happiness that we're living. Today we're going to start to dwell in the plate, as we say. Why in the plate? Because we're going to talk about our food that we eat, our nutrition, and it's affected by the people around us. And that's our subject today. Hope we can take a lot of things for our day-to-day life. Tal, why did we pick this subject today? Why don't you give us an intro? Yes, we're talking about all problems of nutrition, of dietary problems. It's connected to our the way we look at ourselves, our image. It interests so many people, so we wanted to bring it up today. It's connected to all levels of society, all ages. Today in the Western world, almost each person, whether he knows it or not, has some problem connected to nutrition, his diet. It doesn't have to be extreme. It's just some kind of obsessive obsessive dealing with his diet, only meat, only carbs, only this and that, even communities that gather around this subject of nutrition. Really, it's in every part of our life. I know myself as a teenager. The first thing, when I, let's say if I look at pictures of me when I was younger, every time I look, the first thing I see is whether I was fatter or thinner. It's something that bothers a lot of teenagers, and even when we get much more mature. And now we have the international week for this subject of disorder, of nutrition disorder. Because millions of people really suffer from this problem. People that starve themselves or the opposite, which really damages our health. So maybe people like us who are a bit aware of the mechanism around us and know this hurts our life, a lot of people search for solutions and there's no common and efficient solution. Because we know we need to get to the source of the problem to solve it, we want to talk about this problem from its core. Why now, like Oren said, in the 21st century, we have such a problem with food, with nutrition, and our body? Why is the subject so sensitive? First of all, I don't see any problem with nutrition. Me, myself, it doesn't bother me. I determine that all this problem, it's from thin air, even to say it so bluntly. Throughout history, there was a problem with food. That's why there were no fat people. People were used to feeling hunger. Even fish, animals, they're used to feeling hunger. Throughout days, even weeks, even months. And the feeling of hunger is natural for a human and to every living being. And from the middle of the 20th century, where we went through a very special period in humanity, till the 50s, where we ended all the process of development with our ego, which grew, and the human society was stabilized in such a way. The main thing is we got to a state that we can supply everyone with their food, with their basic needs. And then a person has nowhere to go, nothing to do. The population doesn't grow. Industry needs more places to sell. And then this industry of excessive food, excessive variety, where we took food from all over the world and transported, and through that we have an industry that on one hand you should buy more and eat more, we see that, what kind of foods for babies and for children and for elderly, and around that we have a whole industry which says this has more calories or less, all sorts of diets. And opposed to that, we have all sorts of food, and we have like a market where everyone is pulling towards his benefit, for his pocket. That's why I don't see any problem with that. And even what we're talking about, I see that as some kind of, as if I'm entering a problem that we made by ourselves. We created this problem. I like to research problems that are not from someone's invention, but they come from the development of nature, human nature, society. Here we have a problem which is completely coming from the idea of a publishing body of people who wants to sell, and another body who wants to sell diets, and another group of people who want to sell how to be thinner, microbiotics. We have so many different subjects. Each one thinks, how can I take a chunk of this market for myself? How can I benefit? Everyone's like wolves. There's no problem. It's just a struggle, and a person is weak, and he suffers. He stands in the middle, and he doesn't know where to go. We see people all their life jumping from one diet to another, to this nutrition and other. Nothing is being actually made. Today, in one of my lectures, one of my students who's a scientist in some kind of biotechnology, he's a scientist. He said, how can I eat all sorts of things that are not healthy? This is too much fat, too much cholesterol, an excess of that and this. I said, in my opinion, it's not accepted. It's not that I allow myself everything. And it's not that we get it from this field or that field, clean or not clean, biology. If in general a person eats right, not too excessive, it doesn't matter what he eats, it really doesn't matter. All the problem is we have excessive in quantity, and we do too less of sports and activity. We lost the connection with our inner mechanism, because if we would develop kinds of food that we really need in accordance with nature, we wouldn't need anything. We can fire 90% of the doctors. We can close all these factories of candy. Once there were no candies. It's even written. What to give to a child if you want to give him, if you make him happy? Give him nuts. There was no candy. A present in the holidays, like Passover, at the time of a holiday, you give to a child a bit of nuts. For him, it was like today. You bring him all these rubbers and jelly beans. If we would rationally keep away all sorts of food, we would empty all these shelves in the supermarket that have nothing, no benefit at all. There was no problem. The problem is, it's not our problem. It's like a medicine that they want to sell us as much as they can. I ask my doctor, how's it going with the patients? Normal. Today, normal is 10 prescriptions for one person. That's normal. That's called a doctor. So same thing here. A person enters a supermarket, you can go crazy. On one hand, we have all this excessive. We have a lot of people overweight, obese. And the opposite, we have people who are starving. That's what's interesting. We have this opposing to this. Very interesting statistics. 11 million people have empty houses because people couldn't afford their mortgage. And they were exiled, they were kicked out. And there's 11 million families with no home. Those are on the street, and the homes are empty. Same thing here with the food. You have Africa and Asia, a lot of places where people are starving to death. And there's supermarkets that 90% of the food they throw away just to fill it up again tomorrow. There was an article about India, because the American culture is entering there. Already people there have excessive weight and have to pay to diet. They have cars that they drive and do less activity, and they see these starving people along the road. It's very interesting that they say they have spirituality in accordance to their religion of love. So we're in a paradox state. We have obesity and the norm of that thin is beautiful. No, we don't have this norm of thin is beautiful. The society determines that. Up until 100 years ago, to be overweight was important. It means healthy and beautiful. With a lot of dictionaries, we see someone who's overweight or fat means healthy, and a thin person means unhealthy, sick. While today, those who want you to eat more or less, these kinds diet places, when there's a war. On the one hand, they sell you candy. On the other hand, they show you how you're fed and you have to come to us and we'll manipulate you, we'll give you a diet. It's a market. No one determined that thin is beautiful. It's just whoever sells you these products determined that thin is beautiful. I don't know where it started, but it's a norm. It's culture. Every girl or boy is afraid if they're overweight. It's engraved in us like a norm. It's like a sacred, being thin. I've seen an example of people who can't run away with it, from it. I have a singer, a female singer, who was representative of a woman who was like a healthy, full, and now she became thin. It's just an example of we're governed by this pressure, by society. Yes, some people are depressed because they can't be thin. And except for their diets, they also have to have a doctor and medication. Great, we have something to live for. Yes, sometimes it's very hurtful. It hurts life. I want to talk about some important dimension. The reason that it influences us so much and bothers us so much is because we are connected to our body. In our society, the body is connected to whoever you are. For example, I would come to see relatives. First thing the relatives say, you gain weight or lost weight? It's so connected to your opinion about yourself. How did we get to a state that our society deals so much with our body? And it's connected to who we are. Well, what can you do? If we don't see anything except this outer shell of a person, this is what happens. This is the problem. We don't see internally. And usually there's nothing to see. Then his body is it? What do we have in our life when we see each other? Anyway, is it one of the reasons that we suffer from this subject? That our body is ourself? Yes, but who did it? The people who want to sell us. It's not that I did it. There's a system, it was very strong, powerful, industry, and it produces this. It's like you have a fashion industry. Each season you have to buy new things, throw out different things. Same thing with food. Today it's this, and next year it's different. would want to give practical advice for people who have a disorder in this subject? Is there any way they can learn to have the right attitude to their body, to their self, maybe to pay less attention to these influences? Only in one condition, that he can organize his own small community, which in that community they would treat each other in accordance to the human qualities in each one, and not through this scale of body measurements. And also with that, they have to take care of their body so they're healthy. It has to be in the right way to, so the body can function. But not in a manner that I have to hold up to some standards that a person set up that for profit through food or sport gyms and fashion. We still don't have any proof in any way. As much as they pull the facts, we have no real evidence that something is positive or negative, causes harm or good. No fat or less cholesterol, chocolate, candy. One person lays on the couch, one person runs around and does a lot of activity. It's very relative, in accordance to what his body demands. Of course, we have to somewhat rest, somewhat be active, but everything has to be balanced. I see these people in the morning, they exercise. I see these groups. To see them each morning and all day, they just deal with that. How many grams have I eaten? How many exercises have I done? So what? This way they live their life until they die. I talk to a lot of people. I can understand that dealing with food and nutrition, it gives the impression of control. We have a reality that we don't have, seemingly we don't have control. Control has to be internally, not externally. If I want some slice of pizza, I can't afford myself. No, it's fatty and cholesterol and wheat. It's not whole wheat. And the cheese is this and that. Come on. It's almost, what, to fill myself with all these worries? I don't want to hear this excuse that this is how it is today. No, I'm saying this in order for us to maybe come with some alternative state. I'm saying a person has to make sure he's bothered with something else, and then he'll eat what he needs. He doesn't need to deal how much I ran today, how many calories I ate today, where my belt closes. Yes, I think the issue is less the food, it's more us, what concerns us, how we see ourselves. I think the solution is in a different level. We need to bring a person to understanding the greatness of his life, the greatness of creation, the goal of creation, where he can develop, what can be ahead of him. Then he can really feel himself as special, that he can change his life, he can attain during his lifetime things who are, that are so special, so high. And that way he will leave all these stupid things of nutrition or diets, and naturally he would take care of himself with simple food. I saw myself also on my teacher and on myself, I see. As much as I advance in life, I need simpler food, a bit of meat, a bit of fish, One apple a day, I like. Something sweet from time to time. Some cigarette from time to time. I'm not saying everything in the right portions. Also from here, also from there. To exercise a bit, to rest a bit. Everything has to be. But if a person knows, why is he living in these states? It's like a line that passes through everything. Then everything is stabilized. Where the thoughts, there is the person. Everything comes from his thoughts. Maybe there's a willpower involved, that a person wants to control himself. No, it's wrong to have control. Control means I really want something, and I say no, I stop myself. Yes, this happens to people who can't eat something. No, let's deal with something else, and then it wouldn't be on our mind. That's it. If I have some problem, I don't have appetite, but I shouldn't get to a state where I have something bad or I have a bad feeling that I don't have an appetite. A person who's filled in life, searching and developing, then food is for him. It's somewhere in the background. I wanted to ask here on this point. If a person has something higher in life that fills him, he would be less obsessed with how he looks like, how much he weighs, if he's fat or thin, what he eats. Of course, it's two sides of the coin. If I say, don't eat that, I push him even more to eat that. You understand? Dealing with it, I will eventually eat even more. That's why it goes together. All these people who shout on diets and the people who say, buy more and more candy and pizza, they work together. It doesn't matter. You let him deal around food, nutrition. You say, don't deal with it endlessly and dwell in it. The solution is to imply something higher in your life. And then a person is less involved in how he looks and what he eats. Not at all. Okay, it's reasonable, it's sensible, I understand this path. In the last 50, 60, 70 years, we only deal with the external form of a person. Before that, it wasn't in that to this extent. Even before that, no one looked at the external physical manner. A person chose his wife through her face, how she looks. No. They looked, if a woman is healthy, if she can maintain a household, I'll take her as a wife. But we're not in this period. No, I'm just saying, each period, once we would look at things naturally, more healthy, like animals. Now, it's like we're humans, but we're not humans. We're filled up with all these artificial thoughts. And these norms we live in. This is our state. I want to be practical. It's nothing to... It won't help me to cry that I'm not like 100 years ago. I'm in the present day. It won't help to say, close all the supermarkets. It's not reasonable. I want to talk about the technology of raising a person into a higher level and not to dwell in how he looks, to imply something higher in his life, some goal. Let's imagine some situation, if Tal agrees. I want to really mention this. Let's say we gather a group of people, 8 to 10 people, young, girls, boys, old, younger. The common thing is they have some disorder in their diet, eating disorder. I won't expand on what eating disorder, but it can be a variety of eating disorders. But the fact that people suffer from these disorders It's a fact. Millions suffer from it, and we want to advance them to your direction. But don't dwell in this disorder. It's like we're putting a magnet and rise them above to something higher. What does it mean practically? Let's imagine like this table. We invite more people, which our common thing is that we have we all have an eating disorder. We tried everything. As much as we try more, we're more obsessed and more it bothers us more. It affects our health internally, physically, emotionally. It affects our life in our with our families, our work. We're like under this cloud that really interrupts our life. I'm open to see and to hear a new technology. How does it work? What do you do with us? You're asking, I have a market of people that they are interested in hearing you. Would you have anything to give to them to exit this problem, this eating disorder? But I know that you don't care about the eating disorder. You want to bring your idea. You, no, you don't care my idea. I care about your idea. I can come to your crowd where everyone's overweight or think overweight or thin, anorexic, doesn't matter. And I should treat them with my treatment. I'm interested because I'll sell them my ideology, my idea. They'll start to learn what I want them to learn. Let's say society and all these things. The connection of the integral connections in society. And for them, it's worthwhile for me. And for them, it's worthwhile because I release them from their problem. So everyone gains. Let's step away from this big market. Let's just focus on this table. We have 10 people with eating disorders, and they want to hear what to do. And I start to speak with them. Not them, me. I have the eating disorder, talk to me. We're not starting from the eating disorder. We start from what is a human? What is he? How long does it take? Well, we imply this thing, the nourishment, the nutrition. But in general, we're talking about ego. Why are we in excessive consumption? Because of our ego. Through our ego, we try to fill ourselves. As much as I'm full, I constantly want to feel fulfillment and filling this need, this desire. What fulfillment can be? What's the best way to fill up this ego? We check this through our hormones and the brain. If I lay on the couch and see something beautiful on TV and hear something beautiful and eat something beautiful and lay down comfortable, this is the maximum hormones are in my system. We have a lot of disorders which are opposite. Everyone can imagine what he wants. Maybe you don't want a couch, you want to sit like a lotus. My problem is eating disorder. So I'm telling you, everything, it's around fulfillment, the will to receive, to feel himself full. And the moment he's full, and really has nowhere to get more. He wants to puke. He wants to... And he starts to think, I can't enjoy food. Maybe I enjoy something else. Sleep. I slept. I woke up. What else? Food. No. I still haven't got a chance to digest. Maybe I'll go walk around. Maybe I'll hear something. Maybe I'll play with something. In short, we're always running from one feeling to the next, one pleasure to the next. all sorts of pleasures. That's what I want. Constantly choose the best possible way. That's the human nature. We have to teach this. We're here. We're hearing. Okay. After we do workshop and discuss this, where it's really understood. How long does it take? We came to treat our eating disorders. You didn't come to a workshop about the eating disorders. You came to get rid of these eating disorders. How long does it take, I'm asking? You have methods that don't end till the end of your life. I don't buy this. Then you can go away. I don't hear that we're talking to the point. We're not talking about eating disorder. I'm explaining to what your ego is drawn to. Why are you drawn to it? It's inside your nature. You can't run away from it. From what? From constantly searching for filling yourself up. What I just explained, you haven't even heard. I explained through laying down, hearing something, traveling, playing with children, with my wife, maybe go to travel somewhere. Every time it's a different fulfillment. Sometimes I don't even worry about food. I forget about food because I have different pleasures. Let's see where we have different pleasures and what can we fill how can we fill ourselves. And maybe we have something. When we're in something special, I don't care if it's dry bread. As long as I'm seeing something beautiful, or I'm flying in some plane, and I eat this food, their food, and so on. The basic thing is the filling us up, filling the pleasure. And it's not simple. You see, you haven't exactly understood me. So pleasure. Maybe we can switch this pleasure. And instead of food, we start to fill ourselves up with something different. Myself, sometimes in front of me, what do you like in your on your table? Well, let's hear. Really? I love the soup, the foot soup. There's bread alongside this soup. I want it every day, all day, like my grandfather. Nothing better than that. It's like materna, like a Gerber for a baby. Okay. What I want to say is, let's say you started to eat the soup with the pita bread, chilbe, everything together, a big party. Complete. Telephone rings. You start talking. And now you hear an explanation. Your daughter needs to get married and she wants your advice on the salon or this place to rent. And you start to talk with her and forget about the soup. That's why I don't answer any phones when I eat soup. I don't care about anything. He doesn't have eating disorders. He eats the right way. Suddenly I have something that distracts me. You ate a quarter of the soup, and all the rest you don't really need. You're right. I stop only when it hurts. I don't feel good stopping from my stomach. We see. We can switch our interest, our pleasure, one instead of the other. It's possible. What do we take from this? If we give a person a life in which he finds different pleasures, except from eating, he won't have eating disorders. He won't have it. He won't see it as nothing more than essential for a being. I want to enjoy my car. To enjoy my car, I need to come to a gas station and fill up with gas. I want to enjoy life. To enjoy life, I have to put something in my mouth, some fuel, and that's it. It all depends on if you know where you're going. Okay, your logic stays the same. Same thing you said before. You want to give me something else, and then I'll be drawn to it, and I won't deal with food. And this would work for sure. Child, did you understand what to do with anorexics? Anorexic is something different. Anorexia is something, is a different problem. It's not too much food, it's the opposite. Leave it. Now we're talking on people who are overweight. No, in general. They can't stop until they've ended a whole pot of soup. Okay, but I still don't understand what is this higher thing that you promised me. That's why I came to this course. Okay, this higher pleasure that will fill you more than the soup. That is why we're in this order of things. Special things that fill a person up. This is called food, sex, family, money, wealth, honor, control, and knowledge, wisdom. Where food, it's really the most primitive source that we have. And if you have an opportunity for sex, then you would want it more than the food. And if in the family there's some kind of problem, then of course that's more than sex and food. That's the order of how a person is evolving as a mate. There's all sorts of mutations, but usually it's so. What I want to show you through this scale, food is not a problem. But they don't want to, they want us to stay in this problem. They don't want us to exit this problem. They want to benefit. They want to make a profit. It's like doctors and people are sick. A doctor wants a person to be healthy. He wants him to be sick. I agree with you. It's billions of dollars industry of diets and eat that. And I'm not asking about that. I understood this. I'm searching. What is this new thing that you bring to my life that will bring me to a state that the problems with the food would be behind me, something small in my past? Then we need to bring you to this group. Here, we are in the group. Start to develop you, that you have some idea of life that's higher than food and sex and family in general, higher than everything, that will gather you in such a way, and you will hold each other, you would keep each other in a way that you won't have any thoughts on what you eat or don't eat. You come home, bring me something to eat. I have a couple minutes, then I have to go somewhere. I have to see something online. You're dealing with different things, higher things. There's a saying that eating disorders is some emptiness inside, some deficiencies in attention, everything that brings this emptiness, inner emptiness. So with this workshop that we built, what do we have that gives fulfillment to this lack? Warmth. A person, in his nutrition, he takes out all these problems that he doesn't can't manage in sex and family and wealth and everything. When he can't solve something, he brings it to the food level. He eats twice as much. That's how he deals. With that, he suppresses all the different senses. I ate, I become some chunk of wood, log of wood, from eating excessively, I become numb. I don't have any thoughts. I'm not aimed towards anything. So to solve these problems, we have to solve emotional problems? Yes. Everything is emotional. I have to feel that I'm full in higher levels, higher degrees. Or dealing with fulfilling myself in higher degrees. And then eating won't be something mandatory that I have to do. If I have something, I have it. And if I have something, it doesn't matter what it is, I'll eat it. What's the lack that we go to food for? Everyone sees the thing that's lacking is the influence of the environment on him. If he senses that the environment is influencing him in the right, in a positive manner, he feels warmth and security and love, that he can also spread love and people are searching for this love and he can give this love. He can control and be controlled like family. Sex is also different. All his life gets a different character. It's like a different light is shining, different color of light. And then you don't need to excess in food. He comes back to the natural state where he gives his body what it needs. There's a quote from a young girl that the pressure in her life brought her to a state of eating disorder. So much pressure on teenagers, there's a connection between us wanting to control our life and connection to the problems that arise. How is this connection between these two? From pressure? It causes anorexic. If anyone comes to us, he forgets about this eating problem. That's why he's asking, why are you not talking about the eating disorder? I'm not talking about this disorder. The treatment is in that we forget about this problem. We're not fighting in front of this problem, in front of this wall. We don't want this. I don't want him to see it. I want him to forget about it in general. We also have this perfectionism. People that demand of themselves too much. Search for some perfection, some completeness. A person who feels himself secure, that he has the knowledge, he has importance, and others feel him. What does he care if he's 90 centimeters or 2 meters? 3 feet or 6 feet? Napoleon was 150. 1.50 meters. Churchill was 150 centimeters in width. What does it matter? It takes a long time to change this process. We just have to take them out of these processes. They don't have to be inside these processes. Because there can be a state, it can take a long time. No. Influence of the environment. If we bring him, let's say, 10 people, 15, 20 people, and start to work with them together with influence of environment, through interacting, they can, very quickly, they can rise above. But we're not working against the problem, like a lot of these groups work. We're not saying this is bad, you shouldn't do this. It's like I saw sometimes these movies on smoking. How many cigarettes are thrown in your lungs? They throw cigarette butts in your lungs, and they fill it up. And then you start the new cigarette like nothing happened. It's not good. It doesn't work in that way. Treating the problem, So eliminating the problem has to be in a higher level of the problem. That's the principle. That is why we never talk about the problem itself in food. We always rise above this problem of nutrition to higher degrees. What is this control that you talked about that a person can attain in a higher level? This idea, it's controlling of, it's an idea of contacting each other. They have work and developing between each other. With this idea to develop and bestow and warmth between people. They're dealing with things that are outside of his ego. He stops thinking, is he alive or dead? Is he hungry or is he full? Stops to think about these things. That's why he completely abandons all these disorders, eating disorders, because he's not there. Once he contacts something that's outside of him, there's no problem of soup. He's drawn to give the soup away and not to eat it. From there he gets pleasure. You put aside the problem of anorexic, but if we can mention it, why so many young women who have this, they have an environment that supports this problem? First of all, the problem is mainly with women, because women have a tendency towards giving from themselves. They're willing to give everything, they have. How to treat anorexic? I don't see also here any other way except for taking a person out of his thoughts, his problems and thinking. Everything is in the mind, and not in the stomach or in any other manner. I'm sure that if we can come to a state, bring a person to a society that gives them security and warmth, the feeling of walking together forward, he could sit with us, start to eat, and not even pay attention to the fact that he's swallowing. Really, he would rise above the action itself of eating. Really, I never tried this, but I have tried with excessive eating. But it's interesting to see this. I think it will work. Influence of the environment on a person, if he's with people who eat normal and have a normal opinion and a higher opinion, he would also act the same. Just don't bring him to people who are depressed, who are with these problems that he has. But usually support groups are people with the same problem. That's not good. What can they study from each other? They have tendencies. They're used to things. And here it's the opposite. The influence of the environment, how can they influence if they don't give him an example? All these... I know that sometimes if a person is in a good environment, he feels good. And then when he comes back home, where he's alone, he goes back to these habits. It all depends on how the society influences him. We have to come to a state where a person is never separated from the environment. Not physically, but inside, internally. He's always constantly in the same ideas. He's burning until he's used to it. Until the spiritual idea is more than his physical tendencies. We have to work on that, but I don't think there's any other solution. For that, all these problems were created. So we solve them in a higher level. It's interesting. So if someone has a problem, he shouldn't be ashamed. Yes, we just need to draw in all these problems. It doesn't matter. It could be anorexic, excessive eating, some problems of thoughts, compulsive thoughts, more and more. It can be all around the table. The main thing is that they start to deal with influencing each other, bestowal, exiting from themselves towards the public, towards outside of themselves. That's what's going to give them fulfillment, pleasure. And then all of a sudden, everyone would feel with their own personal problem, it doesn't bother him, this personal problem. It's as if I stopped to feel it. Suddenly, for 1 hour, I haven't thought about my problem. And then 2 hours. Then all of a sudden, when I'm home, I get a phone call, and I call someone. I always rise above my problem. The problem with food is the lowest problem, the first problem in what a person needs. Yes, that's why it's interesting that it's so unbalanced and disturbing so many people. Yes, they dealt with all our problems. They erased families and children. If they show us the family, they only show us the problems. Everything is around sex and food. One of the things I saw with women and with eating disorder, has something to do with the will to live, wanting to live, how much you eat or don't eat, this constant willingness to live. Of course it will change. He will have a reason to live because of our pleasure that we give. It's not his own personal question. He has a different goal, the purpose of creation. I'm filled with hope that we can do this. From all these talks that we make, we can start to organize teachers, and they organize groups. If we already have people who see these problems in the sense of food and sex or family manners, that's what we're doing, all these talks. So eventually, people can take ideas and start to imply them. Our solution is simple and one. The fact that we're talking about a lot of phenomena, as if we're talking about problems that are like sickness in society, it's because there's a lot of problems, but the solution is that we have is only one. Rise the person to worry on the society, worry on the other. Worry for the other, and in that you end all personal problems. Yes, undoubtedly. We just have to fulfill it. Fulfill it through workshops. But here you said people shouldn't sit with the same problem. Yes. Rather, they have different problems. One is overweight, that one is thin, doesn't eat more than half a tomato a day. And then another person has a compulsive behavior, thoughts, and else. Tali is our expert. There's a variety of problems. Okay, sit them all together. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be food. Doesn't matter the subject. We sit together in one table. It's preferable. So they don't have a common problem, but they have a common solution. That's important. In the problem, they don't have any connection. He wants to eat soup. She wants to nothing more than half a tomato. I wanted to ask, there's something in the psychology that's not allowed. When something that I can touch, I want it even more. We're not dealing with that. We don't say anything. I don't tell them what's allowed and not allowed. People come to me, there's no problem. There's only one problem. I want to fill your mind with discernments which are higher, with goals which are higher, something that is enlightening. I want to fill you up with that. Then everything else would fall because they have nothing to grab on. That's the whole purpose, the whole idea. That's why it's very important that they're not in contact with each other in earthly problems. They start cry, we suffer. Today I ate this, tomorrow I ate that. No, I don't want that. I want the opposite. Our method is very special. It's the opposite than what's happening in all these other methods. Our time is up in 30 seconds. What is our summary for eating disorder? The summary is, in conclusion, through connecting social connection, through our integral connection society, we can bring a person that he rise above all his problems in this world level, this materialistic levels. Also, eating disorders and excessive or eating less, no matter what, he rises above all the problems. One solution to all the problems that humanity faces. Thank you very much, Rav Leitman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you as well for being with us. New life, one solution to all our problems. Thank you and goodbye.